Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at Geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
The best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
On Cork's Good Times.
Red FM.
Hello, and you're listening to the Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. I recently made my debut with the Big Red Bench 2 weeks ago, but there is lots of sports action today and lots to come up in today's show. And just a quick mention to our own Rory O'Hagan, who has completed the Dublin City Marathon and got a PB for himself, finishing just under 4 hours. Well done, Rory boy. Congratulations from everyone here at Red FM. And of course, massive congratulations to the Bears and Knocknagree with their win in their football finals today, which we will have more reaction of later on in the show. But what I want to mention right now, though, is the United Strand. If you don't know who he is basically a fella who is growing out his hair until Man United win 5 games in a row. And as a United fan, I am happy to say we have won 3 of those games in a row. We are so close to getting it done. So close till he can get his hair cut. And I think he's going bald, to be honest. He recently put up a post on Instagram and it was him with a bald cap saying he hopes he looks like this in less than 2 weeks. We just have to get over the line and beat Nottingham Forest and Tottenham Hotspur. And speaking of Tottenham Hotspur, they are winning 2-0 at Hill Dickinson Stadium against Everton. And now we're going to move over to the League of Ireland, where Bohemians lost today to Shelburne 3-2. That is just over, literally a minute ago. But now we are going to move on to our lovely Cork City, whose FAI Cup clash with Shamrock Rovers is now just 2 weeks away. The Rebel Army will look to win the Cup for the 5th time and for the first time since 2017. In the build-up to the final, we'll be talking to all match of winners from the previous finals. Kieran Sadler, who scored the winning penalty in 2017. Shawnee Maguire, of course, about his dramatic winner against Dundalk the year before. And to Dennis Behan about his diving header in the rain in the RDS in 2007. And big man Derek Collin about his towering header against Shells in 1998. Today, though, we're going to go back to the most recent final, the 2017 decider against Dundalk. It looked like the Lily Whites were on their way to the Cup as they lead 1-0 in extra time, only for Aisiel Campion to score a cracker to level the game and send the tie to penalties. When Mark McNulty saved Michael Duffy's penalty, it was up to Kieran Sadler, the mid-season arrival from Sligo Rovers, and he calmly put the ball on the spot and buried the ball past Gary Rogers to win the Cup and secure City's first ever League and Cup double. Now, unfortunately for us, this year won't be a double. It'll be a relegation and hopefully a cup and European football. We will hate it but love it, let's be honest, but it will be good. Now we have Rory, who has been chatting to Kieran about that game and a whole lot more.
All right, we are continuing our build-up to the 2025 FAI Cup Final by talking to the hero of the 2017 Cup Final, the man who scored the winning penalty at the Aviva Stadium and the man who scored a goal from his own box as well in Rebel Army colours, Mr. Kieran Sadler. How are you, buddy? It's been a long time since we've caught up.
Yeah, it's been a very long time, but I'm really good. I'm good. I'm good to be on here as well, catching up. So, yeah, no, I'm all good.
Yeah, we're here to talk about the 2017 Cup Final, obviously, which doesn't feel like 8 years ago, first off, does it?
Nah, it doesn't, but things go quickly. A lot's happened since then, but no, it doesn't feel like that long ago at all. I still remember winning celebrating, getting back on the coach, stopping halfway at some random pub that John used to stop at.
And then the door on the
side of a motorway somewhere, we used to stay there. I can't remember the name, but we used to stop there all the time to eat. He must have had shares in the place. And then back to Cork to then celebrate again, and we went straight out. Yeah, it was amazing, amazing times.
Now, that 2017 season was fairly incredible, right? It was a tremendous year for Cork City, obviously. Winning the double. You arrived, was it halfway through that season, Kieran?
Yeah, I arrived in the summer. Was it summer? Yeah. It must have been the summer from Sligo. My first game was St. Pat's. Shawnee scored in a 1-0 win. And it was good because Shawnee was a really close friend of mine, so I got to play a couple more games, reunited since our West Ham days. Got to play a couple games with him in the league and in Europe before he moved on to Preston. So yeah, it was the summer, and the boys were flying in the league, to be fair. But we hadn't started our cup run. I think Bray might have been the first game, maybe, I'm not sure. But yeah, no, yeah, it was. That's when I came over to Cork.
Yeah, and like that's when, like, you talk about Shawnee there, and like you know, you only got to play a couple of games in Red City, but his form that season, I think he was probably the best striker I think I've ever seen in the League of Ireland. He was pretty much unplayable in those months that he was still with Cork City in 2017.
Yeah, no, he'd worked very hard and gone through some bad times to get to the point of where he was at that season. And he was fully rewarded with his move back across to England, where he carried it on for a while, and until I think injuries just kind of got the better of him, which they do. But now I know he's back now, back home enjoying things, and I know he's definitely looking forward to this game, and he wants to repeat history, I suppose. But he was unplayable. It was that spell there, he was unplayable, and he was just untouchable, really. Just roll defenders for fun and score with everything, really. It was great to play with him again, and whilst before he went back over to England.
So, Ken, when you're arriving into a team like halfway through a season, like, how hard is it for you to, I suppose, settle into a groove, or, I suppose, get to know your new teammates quite quickly and kind of fall in with the groove that they've created?
Yeah, I think it is tough. It's tough confidence-wise the most, because I've done it many times, gone to new clubs, and although you know you've done really well at your past club and you know that the players know about you as a player, it's always hard, because even in training, you're like, you give the ball away or you make a mistake and you straight away you think, oh, they must think I'm rubbish. Like, who have we signed here? So for me, it's like when I get that first goal, that's when I'm like, okay, I settle into my kind of groove and I'm relaxed. And everybody plays better when they're relaxed and enjoying things. Those are the biggest hurdles for me. Fitness and slotting into new ways of playing has never really been an issue. John was very different to Jared Little or Dave Robertson, who I had at Sligo at the time. But I'd played against Cork, to be honest with you, not long before I signed for them. And I'd always played really well against Cork. So yeah, I was excited to join, but those were the only things, really, hurdles for me to get over when joining new clubs.
You certainly caught the eye with your performances even early on with Cork City, but then look, the league is almost a certainty midway through the season with the goals that Shawnee had scored. It did take a while to get over the line, but eventually got over the line that night against Derry City. The cup then, as you mentioned, starting off against Bray, there was a big win in the second round. I think it was 7-8 against Athlone, Longford Town, the quarterfinals. Then the semi-final was against Limerick to book your place back in the FA Cup final. You set up the only goal of that game, didn't you?
Yeah. Who scored?
I can't even remember now. It was 1-0.
I remember the the cup run in the second year, I remember that more than I remember the other one because it was so long ago. Who scored that day? I can't remember who scored. But
Gary Buckley.
Was it Bucks?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Was it? Yeah, I think I do remember. Was it home or away? It was home.
It was at home, yeah. So Gary Buckley scored in the 14th minute, yes.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, no. I remember the Bray game because I think that was my first goal for the club. I remember, yeah, I do. And then obviously I remember the final. That was a very, it was good because that was kind of when the cup was really where I was enjoying it most. Because it was where I was, it's kind of my, what do you call it, where you kind of steer your way into the group. So the cup was kind of, which, you know, basically when you come over and a team is so far ahead in the league, you're kind of like, it's not really much input I'm really having here in the league because I think we were 18 points ahead when I joined. Yeah. And I know we dragged it out to get it over the line, but we were always going to. But so the cup was kind of fresh from round one. That's where I kind of felt like a real part of it. So to then go and win it and then to go get to the final the next year and obviously unfortunately lose in that final were times I always still speak about, to be fair. Playing at the Aviva, you can't really, like, I've played at Wembley since and they're very similar, just big stadiums, national stadiums, but those are the days you remember.
Yeah, there was a run of four finals where it was just Cork City and Dundalk in 2015 and 2018. Cork City, thankfully, winning two of those. 2016, we mentioned Seanan Maguire's last gas goal. It was incredible. But talk to me about the 2017 final. It was a tough game. Looking back at it now, probably maybe not the best game to watch. It was very nervy. It was very tense. Dundalk had taken the lead. It looked like they were going to win the cup. But then Ashiel Campion out of nowhere, what a goal that was.
Yeah, Ashiel was always a big character. Big character. And to be fair, Ashiel came up with some really important goals for us. He was something different. He was very different to Shawnee. Because Shawnee very small and can roll players. Ashiel was more hold-up player, quite intelligent, to be fair, with that. And he'd get some important goals and that goal there, he took very well. I was really pleased for him because he'd been in and out of the team, and it's hard when you're coming over from another country and stuff. And but he loved it. He loved his time over there, and I think that was amazing for him. But he took that so well, and it was a great finish. I remember it was at our end as well with the fans behind the goal and. Finals are always tense. I think no one wants to make a mistake. That's the thing, because no one wants to. Because every mistake you make in a final leads to a goal, for example, is always going to get highlighted. So no one wants that, and you kind of just have to just take risks. I suppose it's the kind of the difference between the players that get remembered and stuff. Like, they just take risks and go and do it. They don't care. Do you know what I mean? And Ashiel took that goal so well, and that set us up perfectly to go into the penalties in the end.
That extra time was just so nervy. I remember that as well.
Yeah.
Just before we talk about the penalty shootout, you mentioned the crowd there and like the goal being into Cork City's end. The crowd that Cork City brought to Cup Finals is always incredible. And it was the same that day in 2017. Just the roar when Ashiel scored was something else.
Yeah, no, to be fair, my time at Cork, the fans were unbelievable. I remember for the big games, we'd be getting 6,000-7,000 at Turner's Cross. And even when we were going away, we'd go to Longford and we'd go up to, I remember, St. Pat's, Dundalk, Rovers, and we'd bring like a really good crowd. And that's important. It's important for us on the pitch, and you might not look it, but it does mean a lot for players to have that kind of support. And yeah, then at the Aviva both times, it was amazing seeing like the green flags and the stuff that they let off and all that. And I remember, I remember when we won the penalty shootout, running straight over to the other end, and I could see my family on the right. And it was good. It was emotional, to be fair. It was good because when you do something like that, it's just, that's what you've been working for all season. Everyone talks about, we won the league. And if people go, we won it easily, and then you kind of, it gets discredited kind of thing by other people. And then you go, okay, well, okay, we'll go win the cup as well then. And then you can't discredit it at all because you've done both. So it's that maybe a sense of relief, but also a togetherness. Our togetherness in that team was amazing. We lived together. We went out together. We celebrated together. We took losses together. We did everything together. And John did an amazing thing of bringing a group together. It's a lot different when you come over to England, back to England. It's people have their own lives. Like, for example, now me, 31, got a son, got a partner, live in our own house, live in a different area to where the football club is. It's a lot different, and you do miss those times. I had it at Sligo as well, where we all lived together. So we pretty much lived and breathed football. And those are, I always say to lads, like, now, like the younger lads, like, if you're not really enjoying football over here, go to Ireland, because like it will really, you're kind of, you're in the limelight in the League of Ireland. You get the show, the kind of, what do you call it, there to go and perform and get seen and enjoy and kind of, I always say, like, if you kind of get involved in the environment you're in like, for example, when I was in Sligo and when I was in Cork, I always got involved in the community and kind of wanted to meet people and know people. And I still speak to people from both places now. And it goes so much further for those players that do that, because they get so much more support and so much more help when you need it. And I always say to lads, go over to Ireland, you'll love it. And it never disappoints, really.
Yeah, fantastic. So very, very, very well said. Just on 2017, obviously, it was a double for Cork City. I did an event with Alan Bennett a couple of weeks back where he talked about his regret from 2005, where they had won the league and then had a chance to win a double, lost out in the final a couple of weeks later. And he was saying that in 2017, when that chance came around, he was adamant that the same thing wasn't going to happen again. Well, how much of an influence did Alan Bennett have on kind of like setting your mindset going into the cup final, saying, lads, we cannot lose this?
Yeah, Benno was just a real calming influence. You had your loud talkers in the club, in the team. You had those and you need those. But Benno's experienced in the fact where I understand now that the most experienced lads are normally the ones that are really calm. And if they don't bring loudness and they just bring like a, if you lose or if you're not going, doing too well, they just bring a, like, don't get too low. And then when you're doing, winning and everything and stuff like that, and you're playing really well, don't get too high. If you just stay in that middle, it will come off in the end. And yeah, he just brought a calming influence. And just, Benno's a wonderful guy. You could go and pull him and talk to him. And he'd had a long career. To be honest with you, I don't think anyone in the team really had bad feeling about the game. I think we all just kind of, you just ride the wave. We'd done so well. We were so confident. We knew Dundalk were a really good team, and it was always a real big test against them, especially on their pitch. But they had some really good players. I remember Ronan Finn, John Mountney, like really good, strong players in that league. And they always seemed so physical, but it was lifting the trophy in above that tunnel bit. I think there's a photo of us where we're lifting it above them. And like I'm not really one to kind of like, not really like, gloat in front of them, but like, it's just nice because they can get aggressive on the pitch. They could say a few things and you just respond by winning. And that's the best response you can do.
Certainly was. Just takes back a little bit. The final whistle goes in extra time, right? You're heading to penalties. You all get around in a huddle. John is there. Is like at that point, do you have your five penalty takers set, or is John looking for volunteers at that point? And people are sticking up their hands, or is John just going on to say, "I'm going to take 1, 2, 3, 4, 5"?
I've been in quite a few penalty shootouts now, and the ones that want it in training aren't normally the ones that want it in a game. And that's why you can practice penalties 100%. And we did. We practiced. I remember Lisa Fallon was left in charge of helping us practice for penalties. But to be honest with you, I've taken penalties my whole career, so I always knew what I was doing. But she was kind of assigned to that. But yeah, like I was always going to take one. I can't remember if I chose to go fifth. I don't know, because nowadays I'd probably choose to just go first or second or something, because you might not even, you're taking a gamble. You want to win it and you want to take the glory or whatever, but you might not even get to five. So you might not even get the chance. So I just think it was just meant that day that I was going to take it fifth and it was just going to fall on me. But to be honest with you, I just felt all right. I felt confident. I came on in the game and I just said, yeah, I'll take one. And the lads that are quite calm took one. I think you just go by the day and how you're feeling. Some people might be having a shocking game and just not fancy it. And I would never begrudge them, because like, you don't feel confident, you don't feel confident. That's how I think you should judge penalties. There's always good ball strikers and there's others that don't really do it, but I just think we just kind of, whoever wants one, put your hand up.
Yeah, and you scored all the penalties as well. Carl Shepherd, Greg Bulger, Conor McCormack, Stephen Beattie all scoring. Mac McNulty says Michael Duffy's penalty then, and then you're stepping up. You have the ball in your hands. You're looking down at Gary Rogers. You're facing the Dundalk fans as well. What is going through your mind when you're putting that ball down, thinking, right, if I stick this, I'm going to win the cup for Cork City?
For me, I remember picking the ball up and I had the Dundalk fans behind me and they were giving me abuse. And I was just like smiling, because like I'm confident from the penalty spot. I know what I'm going to do. Like, and all I'm thinking is just get a clean connection. Because if I put it in the way I'm going to put it, if I get a clean connection, you're not saving it. So if you put it too much in the corner, they're not going to save it unless they really go early. And I'm not really one to mess around on penalties. I don't chip it down the middle. I don't do all the steps. I don't do anything like that. I just know where I'm going and I just hit it. And I love that pressure. I actually do really enjoy that pressure. I'm quite a quiet person and stuff, but I enjoy pressure like that. It's good. It's football. It's like, it's enjoyment. It's those are the big moments that you kind of work for. To be honest, I didn't really think too much, to be honest. I was thankful it went in by the end of it. But I know Knowles, there was a picture after. I don't think he watched the penalty he was on it or something like that. There was like a still frame. It was a good picture. But Duffy, yeah, I know he missed the penalty and he was one of my favourite players, to be fair, when I was over there. I thought he was a class player. I was surprised he never really got a move or anything, because we were kind of similar age. I don't know if he just wanted to stay over. We did go to Derry. It's such a good feeling when it went in.
Absolutely incredible. And you mentioned already the celebrations that sparked in Aviva Stadium on the way home, and then back in Cork as well. The celebrations just didn't stop in town. It was just an incredibly crazy night after you won that cup, Kieran.
Yeah, we stopped at that place, some halfway house thing, came all the way back. I don't think we even stayed at the stadium for very long. We obviously celebrated in the changing room, but we didn't go up. I don't think we went upstairs or anything to any lounge or anything that you'd normally do. I think we just got straight back on a bus. We saw our family and stuff, and then we got straight back on a bus.
That was Rory chatting to Kieran about that game in 2017. And what a game that was. I still remember watching it. And I hope that City can repeat that in 2 weeks' time, just short of 2 weeks' time. So it's actually really coming on close now until that moment. And let's hope they can take the cup back to Leaside. Leave a Lacey runner. Ryan Creech finished second in the men's national title race in a personal best time at today's Irish Life Dublin Marathon. And after the race, he joined Oisín Langan to discuss the achievement. Let's hear from them.
Well, I'm at the finish line of the Irish Life Dublin Marathon and I'm joined by Ryan Creech of Leavale in Cork. Ryan, a personal best time and the second Irish male. You must be very happy with your performance.
Yeah, shaped my life, 2:11. I thought there was a bit more in it today. The weather wasn't playing ball, but yeah, really happy with the performance. Just unfortunate that second again. It's probably an itch I won't scratch, unfortunately, but yeah, it's a great day out. I can't be disappointed. I ran really strong, maybe a bit aggressive too early, but yeah, good performance all around.
How difficult did the conditions make it, because it was wet out there and it was cold out there and there was a bit of cut in the breeze, if that makes sense?
Yeah, the wind kind of hurt us more than helped us, I think. From like 14 to 18 it was brutal. It was really heavy, and of course that was a point where you kind of isolated, so you had to fight it all by yourself, really. Like 2:11 on a day like today, like 2 years ago when I came second again, and last year I came second again, like I would have come third with that time. Yeah. So I can't be too upset overall. It was a good day, just a bit bittersweet, and unfortunately second Irish again.
I know for yourself you're disappointed. For looking from the outside, you'd say more sweet than bitter, because of the way you ran, the personal best time, the consistency of 3 second place finishes in the Irish Life Dublin Marathon. Probably the wrong time to ask, but will you come back and give it another bash for next year? Will you? Yeah, because you, as you say, you've got an awful lot of running left in you.
Yeah, it's a great event. It's probably the most important one in the calendar, I think, for Irish. It's always been the one for me, and you know, you kind of sacrifice going to maybe faster marathons this time of year. So all I want is that national title, and unfortunately, it's just been I never say never. I'd probably say no at the moment because it's stinging so much, but this time next year I could be sitting there again. So it's the best race in Ireland over any. This is my opinion. The organisers, the volunteers, it's just a special day, and that's why it hurts so much, why it's so important.
Yeah. You had great support out there today. I saw at the finish line there was people queuing up to hug you. Whether you can handle a hug after a physical endurance race like that, I'm not sure, but they wanted to give you the hugs anyway.
Yeah, I have a great support network. My partner Chloe, we have a 1-year-old. She's the reason that I can still train. She gets up in the middle of the night when the baby's screaming and lets me sleep. She's been my rock, and like honestly, if I didn't have that, I wouldn't be still training. And having my mum and dad up here again is brilliant, and all my family more or less. It's just such a special day, and it's special. Yeah.
Was there any?
The European qualifier today, close to it if the weather was playing ball, kind of we went out aggressive enough to where we could have still done it, but with that wind hitting us, like, I knew straight away, I was like, look, I need to conserve, try and work through. And to be honest, it was at probably mile 16 whereas I saw Hiko above, it was me and Paul, and I was like, alright, there's three of us here, let's work, as in like Pico's above, me and Paul, let's work together and we'll go ahead. And all of a sudden somebody, I look behind and then there's Dave, and we had a good gap of 40 seconds on Dave at mile 10. So then that really kind of gave me the oh, I need to move. And Dave kind of got us on the hop, and he kind of put a good gap into us, and that's when I really tried to close it down. And I saw him and Hiko then was slowly dropping back. I caught Hiko, and then I was like, right, just try and get Dave. But he just had that pop that I just didn't have. And but he'd an absolute, I'd be honest, I didn't think today my competitors that I'd be, if you had said to me I was going to run 2:11 and I would have caught Hiko at 22 that I did, I would have said I would have won it. So Dave had an absolute cracker performance. And it's like I said, it's one of those days that you kind of, I go to bed tonight kind of, geez, what a great run I had, and then you kind of turn over and you're like, it's just another missed opportunity.
Yeah. So I'll say both hard luck and congratulations, because a personal best time, a second place finish in the Irish Life Dublin Marathon, those are incredible achievements. Ryan Creech, thanks for talking to us.
Cheers. Thanks.
Congratulations to Ryan Creech from everyone here at the Big Red Bench. And now I just have an update on the Everton and Tottenham Hotspur game. Tottenham have won 3-0 away at Hill Dickinson Stadium, which is bad news for us Man United fans, because they climb up the table a little bit more with the extra points, but we'll be fine. We'll win the next two games now and we'll be sorted. And now we will have Shamrock Rovers head coach Stephen Bradley and assistant coach Glenn Cronin, who have completed the Irish Life Dublin Marathon as well. And both men crossed the line in a 3 hours, 57 minutes and 37 seconds time. They then boarded a helicopter to Derry, where Shamrock Rovers faced the Candy Stripes, knowing a win or draw will guarantee them the League of Ireland Premier Division title. But unfortunately for them, that did not happen. They were defeated by Derry. The score was 2-1 at the 90th minute. But at the finish line of the marathon, Bradley also spoke to Oisin Langan. So let's hear from them.
Stephen Bradley, Shamrock Rovers manager, you have just completed the Irish Life Dublin Marathon and you have another marathon journey to make. We'll talk about that in a second. Firstly, how are you feeling?
Tired. We've done an under four, which is the aim. It was incredibly hard. The crowd was incredible. People on the way around were incredible. Look, we've done it. We've raised a lot of money, and that's what the aim was today.
You've done it for an incredible reason, as you've just mentioned.
Yeah, we have. Us as kids are an incredible charity to help families up and down the country in extremely difficult times. And this is a small way that we can help them out, and it'll go a long way to helping kids and families up and down the country.
How did you feel out in the course? Did you get a lot of support, a lot of encouragement and all that?
The support was incredible. Honestly, this day is a special day. The people of Ireland have come out and support you. It's special. It really is. It helps you get through, and thanks to every one of them. Like, you know,
I see you've two names written on your either arm there.
Yeah, Eve is Glenn Storr, who was affected by cancer, and Josh, my son, who was affected. And when it got tough, we just kept thinking of them two and looking at the names and understanding the reason why we're doing it.
You're collecting a medal now. You'll hope to be collecting a trophy later.
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, that's the aim. Go to Derry now, and we have a league to win.
Stephen, well done. Thanks. Brilliant stuff.
Thank you.
Stephen, well done, lad. Well done.
Bitter sweet day for Stephen Bradley, who got a PB in his marathon today in Dublin, but unfortunately couldn't take the cup home to Dublin just yet. But now there is a lot of stuff happening with that title, and who will end up getting it, I don't know. I honestly thought Shamrock Rovers would take it home today, but they did not. Who will we see playing, representing Ireland in European football and winning the Premier Division title? We will just have to see. Moving on to rugby now, and Ireland's Tadhg Byrne is speaking ahead of their Autumn Nations Series clash with New Zealand in Chicago on Saturday, November 1st. Let's hear from him.
Yeah, it'd be just a little bit of history for us who weren't involved 9 years ago. You know, it's a very cool stadium that obviously have very good memories for a lot of Irish people, and to get to be part of that will be pretty special. It's going to be an incredible occasion. It's not too often you get to go over to somewhere like America and play a rugby game, and especially against a team like New Zealand. So if we're able to come out with the win, it's going to be a special day for sure.
It's the first camp where you're all together since Peter, Connor and Keane stepped away, joining Keith and
Johnny, who's our senior group from the World Cup. Does it feel a little bit different now when you find yourself looking around at your own kind of 20s group going, Jesus, we're a senior man now?
It's been like that. Kind of that feeling's kind of slowly becoming more reality over the last year or two. Certainly weird not having Pete Murray and Church not here. Particularly the Pete Murray for me is just being Munster and everything. It's kind of all I've known since I've been in here with them. I can't remember the last time I was in a camp without Pete. That's definitely a bit different. Certainly one of the older ones in the group now, other than Bundy. But we were just saying we were in a little change room before the change room, a few of us, and we were laughing. We were saying it's slowly been dwindling over the last couple of years as a few lads, Earl Zimmer and all that, retiring. So that's just reality of sport, though. But the exciting thing is you see younger lads starting to come up through and bring an extra edge to training and everything like that. Those boys will certainly be missed, their experience will be missed, but as I said, it's part of sport. You have to move on, the game moves on, and that'll be me one day stepping away from Ireland, and the game just keeps going. That's testament to what Pete did, isn't it? When even when Munster, he stepped down knowing he was going to finish up, so that he could help. Well, it ended up being me or whoever was going to be captain of Munster. He was able to help them along their journey to becoming a better captain, and he's helped in this environment for such a long time. And all those lads who've left, Earlsy, all those boys have brought and taught leadership without probably even trying to teach it, and that's just a credit to the players they were and that leadership that they brought all the time. I looked up to Pete from day one. Didn't tell him though, until he was leaving. But I looked up to him till the day he left. He was just one of those figures that probably just he couldn't help but do that, because he had such a presence and such leadership, and obviously such a quality player. And there were a few players who have been like that in this environment that have left since then, but I suppose, I don't know if anyone does look up to me like that, but I don't think they'll be telling me if they do either. every test match is hugely important. We're coming into a very important four games, which will obviously go towards the World Cup rankings as well. I think no matter what, you have to pick your best team available at the time, in my opinion. There will be young players who will come through and they'll put their hand up. They'll have opportunities in training to put their hand up, and if they do enough, then they'll be selected, and that's the way Faz will pick a team. He's not afraid to make bold choices, and he will do it if I don't play well. If I'm selected, hopefully I'll be selected for the first one. If not, but if I am and I don't play well, he won't be shy and saying I'll be dropped for the one after that. So it's on us. It's on all of us who are selected to try hold our position. And as we get closer to the World Cup, you just have to keep those performances going. And I think it's easy for me to say now, but I suppose age is just a number. Until it isn't, because your performance will start to deplete, and once that starts to happen, then that's when the squad will start to change, I'm sure. We're going on a little mini tour, aren't we? So we'll make the most of it as a team. When we're on the field, we'll switch on. It's on us to be all over our detail, be ready for the game, and we'll have opportunities to enjoy being in Chicago and get out and about, and just enjoy that kind of tour mentality and of being away from home and getting to see different places. But it won't take away from the actual main event, the real reason why we're over there.
Here's hoping that Ireland can take the win against New Zealand in Chicago on the Saturday coming. As you know, if you are a rugby fan, It is the best game that comes around every year, and just watching it, the atmosphere is always amazing. And the haka even at the start from New Zealand, I don't know how that doesn't scare them, but I don't think it does. So I would personally be scared if I was one of the Irish players. I would probably walk back through the tunnel and be like, oh yeah, nice one, well done. Anyway, now we are going to move on to local GAA. We will move on to Knocknagree versus Kilnamatra. After Knocknagree's victory at Parkeykeefe, where they defeated Kilnamatra 217 to 17 points today in the Senior A final, making history for their club. We will now hear from John Finton Daly, Knocknagree's manager, speaking to our own Ger McCarty.
John Harty, congratulations. Let's talk about the final first. The two goals proved crucial, but your team all year, all down through the years, when goals were important, you always seemed to get them, and today was exactly the same.
Absolutely, and look, it's a team effort, it's a squad effort. You know, 44 players out in Knocknagree played championship football this summer. 44. And the 44 is important to me as number one. And you know, we have county players there, but they have absolutely no illusions about themselves. They're all very humble guys, because it takes a team effort to win anything. But to go from Junior A in 2013, when I came in, I had just come from Milltown Castlemaine. We won an intermediate club on Ireland. We were after going to the semi-final of Kerry Senior Championship, and they really wanted me to stay, but I saw the way Knocknagree was, and I could see the young lads coming. And you know, there's an element of sadness for me here today, because I have two of my football team that won the All-Ireland in Croke Park 6-7 years ago, and they're in Australia at the moment. They'll feel very sad. John F. Junior, my son, and Carl, two tremendous players. We're expecting to have him back next year. You know, Fintan O'Connor came home from Australia, he came on there near the end. He was our captain here 2 years ago when we lost St. Michael's. They say you have to lose one to win one. In many of the grades we came up, we didn't lose anyone. We just won them straight. But when you get to the Senior A, you need more than that. And we had a tremendous backup and a tremendous self-belief. And coming to this final, a lot of people said we wouldn't do it, that you had Kilnamatra had too many aces and they were Division 1, all the rest of it. Well, we won Division 2. We have some serious young players, but they're a humble group, I can tell you that. And there's no egos there. And I tell you, when you have no egos, there's no I in team. And when you have that, you're going places. And the people that, the biggest compliment I've ever got living on the border is that people have told me that my philosophy is football is a Kerry style. It is a Kerry style. It's a deliberate style by me. Even under the old rules, we would go risk reward, kicking the ball to our inside line. And it doesn't always work. Some teams run the ball, they run it. Football's there for the ball to be kicked. But you've got to spend hours and hours in the training ground for that. And we've been doing that now with this group for the last 12, 13 years. And it's a culmination of all that work. You know, to go from winning the league in Dohalla to winning the championship 3 in a row to winning the county junior in 2019 or 2017, Munster 2017, All Ireland 2018, Intermediate A in 19, Premier Intermediate 20, and now 3 finals, 5 semi-finals in a row on Senior A, 3 finals, won the third one. And a lot of people honestly thought we'd be gone to our level in Senior A and we'd be found out. But you know, we haven't been found out yet. And sure, who knows what might not happen next. It's tremendous. It's just, I'm so happy for them. They're a wonderful group of boys. And that's all I can say.
Congratulations. Totally delighted for you. Well done.
The Big Red Bench.
Cork's good times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench after the break. So we just had John Finton Daly, Knocknagree manager, speaking to Ger McCarty. But now we will have Garrod Olusauna of Knocknagree also speaking to our own Ger McCarty.
Okay, dreams are made of this. County champions, and you're going up senior. What does it feel like, Garrod?
Oh yeah, I don't know how to put into words, to be honest with you. Just those last 10 minutes were the longest 10 minutes of my life, I swear to God. Yeah. They put up some comeback to us, and we knew they'd have a purple patch. Like, we knew before the game there, like, they're a savage team. Like, we played them at the start of the year there in Clonjud. That first half, they blew us out the water. I think we were down, was it 12 points? I think we were 11 points down at half time. But in that second half there, we absolutely went hammer and tongs at them, and we knew if we play our own football, like, that we could beat them. And then we knew we played the win there in the first half. We said we had to make it count, and we did. We came out like a house on fire. We knew we could perform today. We just knew if we put in our own performance, we would win it. And I'm just so happy we did. Like,
at this club and where it's come from, hard to believe, but next year, Premier Senior Football.
I mean, I don't even know what to say. Like, we're playing Division 1 football, and now next year in the league, like, it'll be some jump up playing the boys like Nemo, the Bars, Conor Kilty, all those. I mean, a club like us, we're not supposed to be playing those teams, like, but we show that rural clubs, when there's commitment and there's work put behind the scenes, any team can do it. Like, you know, just, oh, I don't know what to say. It's just, this is the best day of my life, to be honest.
You've summed it up beautifully. Well done, go on, enjoy.
Bye. Thank you so much.
Cheers. Thanks, girl.
Lastly, Jermot Carty spoke to Owen McSweeney of Knocknagree.
Okay, hard to take in immediate aftermath, I know, but the enjoyment, the absolute explosion of joy from the supporters and the players says it all.
Yeah, delighted. It's probably a day that's been coming for a long time, I suppose. Losing three finals in the last 4 years has been tough, and especially last year, you know.
Is that the team that's driven you more
than you? Yeah, I was just saying there to one of the lads, like, I suppose, even there this morning, the game being at 1:30, I felt that, like, us being there before was probably a big help compared to the match, because, you know, you get up, we're an hour from here, like, you get up in the morning and the day is over before you know it, you know. And, like, 1:30, game's over, 3:00, and that's it, you have your answer, whether you won or not, you know. It's not a 7:00 game, leaving you're not waiting all day, which, again, is a positive. So yeah, look, I suppose they're the small things that we probably kind of manufactured well, and look, on the day we were delighted. We did make a couple of mistakes there towards the end, but look, that's all that was going to happen. We were delighted to get over the line in the end, and look, Kilimatra are a fantastic team, and they'll be back, there's no doubting that. And yeah, look, that's the lads now inside, you can imagine, you can come way down for celebrations if you want to. We're delighted. I'm delighted for John and the lads, and John Dwyer there, and Billy, Ed, Mike, and Jura. It's look, they've put in countless hours, you wouldn't believe it. It's look, we're I'm involved in an inter-county setup myself, but it's as good as that. We're not in agree here with the lads they put into it. It's unreal. We've got training at 8:00, there's fellas there from 7:00 on at what they can do inside in the new gym, and look, it's all paid off, thanks be to God. And we're looking forward to having an old rattle of look, it's going to be tough, there's no point saying otherwise, and but we're just so happy, and we're going to enjoy tonight, enjoy tomorrow, and what brings of the week. But yeah, delighted. Can't believe it in one way, because after Carrigaline last year, I didn't know if this day would ever come. But we did say after the game inside in the dressing room, the exact same dressing room, that we'd be back again. And lads stuck to their word, and we're back, and we're where we want to be. And look, again, it's great to be the two teams that are out there now. It's great. They're an example to all teams in Cork. And I suppose we like to kind of base ourselves off that. And look, we know ourselves, we know our limits, but we'd have no fear of going up.
And now, should you? Congratulations. Enjoy, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Congratulations to Knocknagree on the win and making history for their club, and enjoy your celebrations, which I'm sure they already are, because you could hear them absolutely cheering in the dressing room, and as they should be. It is a good win, but unlucky to Kilnamatra, who gave Knocknagree a good game. We will now hear from another winning manager, the absolute legend himself, Jimmy Barry Murphy for the Bears, who was speaking to Jermot Carty.
Jimmy, congratulations. What a day for the Bears. A long time coming, but you got it done.
It's a fantastic win. And so proud of the lads. Very poor first half, I thought, by us. Struggled a bit to take the grips of the game. Our second half display was unbelievable. And magnificent performance by all the lads.
A word for Nemo, I know. Highly rate them, and they were there at the end.
Great club. Great club. Great respect for them. Great friends there. And I'd like to pay my tribute to them. They've been a great team over the years. But today was our day, in fairness.
And just finally, where can this team go from here?
Oh, well, look, we just enjoyed tonight. That's the matter for next week.
Well done, Jimmy. Congrats.
Thanks very much.
Well,
thanks.
We will now hear from Brian Hayes of the Bears and Cork, who also spoke to Jermot Carty.
Brian, congratulations. What a moment for the Bears. Home Park was this win today to get this county title.
It's just huge. You know, there was a lot of noise there in the build-up. You know, we've never beaten Nemo in a final, but look, I think we definitely focus on ourselves coming into this. You know, the new rules, new players coming in, it wasn't a problem that we hadn't beaten Emo before. You know, most of us only played against them once in 22. You know, I think like that one stung a lot for us because we were going for a double, but I think we rectified a small bit of that today.
When you see the reaction to the fans and everybody around the club, what a boost.
It's so good, you know. Like, we won the counties in 21 and 22, and you know, we probably had like a bit of a like kind of a false thing of what was going to happen in the next 3 years, but you know, you see there like 3 or 4 years, it's a long time coming. And look, the people at Togar, look, we just need, like, we've such a good team, we need to be winning more counties, and we're just delighted to be on the right side of the result today.
And just finally, the younger players that came on today, the bench, the boost you got from it just shows the depth.
Yeah, look, our panel is absolutely unreal. You know, I think it's no coincidence, I said it during the week, that the first time we're back here since 21 and 22, our panel in training, and it's everything's so competitive that it's no coincidence that we're back here. And I think you saw the boost there we got. You know, Killian Murray there, he's devastating at the start, but I thought you know, you saw his impact there, kicked the winning score for us, and we're just delighted.
And lastly, Alan O'Connor of the Bears speaks to Jerry McCarthy.
Alan, what a day for the club, what a day for the Bears. For you personally, is it hard to take in?
Oh yeah, look, it's incredible. Look, like, you look around here, you see the support, what it means to people. Like, you know, you've people coming up to you that, like, you know, like lifelong Bears members, like crying and like so thankful for this. And it's really hard to put into words kind of the emotion that you feel at this time, like, because it's a feeling you can't really describe, I suppose. It's incredible.
Yeah, that's the thing. It was all about getting the win today for the Bears after the years of heartache, and he stuck at it. When they got back level, he didn't give up, he stuck to his plan.
Yeah, look, and credit to Nemo, they kept on at us. Like, it was a really hard game to put away. They're very strong, but look, we kept at it. We trusted our process, I suppose, and look, in fairness, some of our bigger players just came up trumps in the dying minutes. It meant the world to us. Like, you see the impact we had off the bench there, even. It was incredible, you know.
What will this do for the club? Let's not even think about what's to come. You're going to enjoy this over the next few nights. But what will it do for the younger guys in this who haven't experienced this before?
Yeah, look, we I suppose this year we've had a lot of players come in, you know, like a lot of fellas that were 18, 19 on the panel. Yeah, it's something that we did talk about at the start of the year, you know, that we're not getting any younger, but there's a good influx. You see the young fellas that came in there now, you know, like Ricky Barrett's first final appearance, like, you know, as in, like, we've had a lot of youth coming through, so it's good to see that, you know, we can keep in winning ways, because look, at the end of the day, like, no, there's no one going to hand it to you. You have to be able to pass on the mantle, you know, and it's the next generation to kind of keep it going, and that's just something we pride ourselves on quite a bit out in the Bears, you know.
Some celebrations come over next few days.
Oh, look, we'll take a step back there now. We'll celebrate and we'll turn our attention to Munster after that. But look, we'll take in the ambience there first.
Well done, delighted for you.
Thanks very much. I really appreciate it.
Just 1 point separated both the Bears and Nemo. Hard luck to Nemo. I'm sure he will be back again next year. But the Bears, fair play, well done, and enjoy your celebrations. And that was all things sports today on the Big Red Bench with myself, Orla O'Leary. Tune in every Saturday and Sunday to the Big Red Bench from 6 to 7 p.m. or listen back wherever you get your podcasts. Take care.
The Big Red Bench, Cork's Good Times, Red FM.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98, because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.